This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. An Interlude of Intrigue, A Tale of Three Kings, by Leslie Herron. Chapter 1, Overture.
They call me a tyrant, a monster, but nobody actually knows my side of the story. If you wish to know the truth, we must go back before the beginning. You see, my father was a great man.
These four walls had always felt like a prison to Zalfir, elven king of the Fae. In lieu of bars, gilded red banners and black stone that glittered with a golden iridescence, he was surrounded by finery, from a massive wooden table of heartwood laden with imported fruits and meats, to the chairs whose opulence made most nations' thrones look like milking stools. It was all just a tactical display of wealth to intimidate foreign dignitaries. But a cage, no matter how luxurious, is still a cage. This is where he served his people, where he carved the path of Ebra's future. Angry voices buzzed in the air like the swarming of wasps, the kind he so desperately wished to swat, but knew the consequences would be ill worth the satisfaction. They circled around the wooden table, slamming their fists against its surface, each screeching for his attention. They had been here before, he and the three surrounding nations arguing and fighting over resources and land. Humans had been encroaching eastward for generations, a conquest made all the more desperate by the opening of the portals that seemed to exist exclusively in Ebra, likely some mischief of those magicians in the Infinite Tower. But these frontier nations had found their armies of yokels no match for the ancient homeland of the Fae. Their attempts to invade were little more than petty squabbles, squashed out by the immensity of Ebra's military might. But as his attention moved over each individual frothing with rage, he made sure to keep his gaze away from the cause of his restraint, a cloaked figure in the back. They had not been invited and were not part of any of the delegations from the neighboring countries. Zalfir couldn't make out any features save for the simple canvas fabric of their black robes and a golden emblem draped purposefully in front of their chest. Their presence sent a chill down his spine. The demands of the other dignitaries and their rulers reached a peak, and Zalfir pushed his fingers into his temples before raising a hand.
"Gentlemen, please, I simply cannot help you if you're all shouting at me at once."
He gestured to the chairs that lined the tables.
"Please, return to your seats, and we may discuss this matter further."
"What discussion is there to be had?"
A burly man with the most impressive of mustaches remained, refusing his seat.
"There is no offer you can make that will change our minds."
"Agreed!"
Lucian, Zilfir's only son, was on his feet, fists planted against the table.
"It should be you who pays tribute for our continued mercy."
The uproar from across the table was to be expected. Zalfir shot his son a dangerous look, forcing the young general to retake his seat. The boy had proven a formidable force on the battlefield, but tactics on the ground rarely served one well in the art of diplomacy. He turned back to the walrus of a man. The kingdom of Fuskar had always been bloodthirsty, almost savage in their desire for war. Their king was like a child, arrogant and blustering to hide from the reality of his own ineptitude. Zelfir's gaze flickered back to the hooded figure in the corner, and he refocused his thoughts.
"Gentlemen, Can we not discuss these tedious border squabbles like men? Lives are being lost at an innumerable rate.
Lucian sneered under his breath. Perhaps human lives? Zophir forged on, even as the others began to protest.
I believe we can come to an arrangement that will help better us all.
The dark-skinned man at the far end of the table raised a hand to silence the others.
Uharia will listen. We agree. Peace is preferable.
Zophir nodded deeply.
Honorable Emperor Yusuf, your people are starving because you cannot grow crops in the desert. If you sign this peace treaty...
He gestured at the long roll of parchment before him.
We will supply your people with enough grain to stave off starvation. In addition, a coterie of Dryad have agreed to use their magic to enrich entire swaths of your land, enough that you may grow your own food in the future.
Yusuf bowed in return, but did not agree outright. Zophir turned to the pale man to his left.
And the fine people of Aethia are suffering through long, bitter winters because they do not know how to weather the cold. I have contacted the northern Selkie tribes, and they would be willing to trade thick furs and other goods in addition to sharing their knowledge of how to survive in such harsh conditions.
He returned his attention to the king and general of Fuskar, still heaving and huffing like an angry bull.
And while your kingdom prospers, you send your people to die in wars they were not trained for.
The man's mustache bristled, and Zophir held up a hand to cut him off.
But you are a formidable force regardless, one that we would like at our side rather than our throat. I propose to send our finest generals to help train your troops, an open trade of not only goods, but armaments to outfit your men. Together, we could be an impervious bulwark.
A deafening silence fell over the room as the three rulers considered what was being offered. In their hearts, they knew they didn't pose enough of a threat to warrant such terms. It made them wary. Zophir laid his hands on the table, leaning against it as he sighed.
Long has Ebra guarded the enshrined wilds to the east, a task set to my people by the goddess Thiara herself.
His gaze flickered back to the motionless figure in the corner.
But I cannot ignore the bloodshed any longer. Ebra has resources enough to share, and I would rather border a host of allies than a wall of enemies. If you agree to this peace treaty and end the battles at our borders, we will provide for you in return.
The three dignitaries and their guards exchanged a look. For the first time in what felt like days, Zophir could feel the knot in his chest loosen slightly. The air in the room was tentative, but hopeful. Lucian stood, addressing his father with a slam of his fist against the table.
Why should we grovel at the feet of those who cannot even feed themselves? Why stain our nation by tying it to the stench of man? Let them attack. Let them feel the edge of my blade as they break upon our borders like cattle to the slaughter.
The king of Fuskar swept his arm across the table, shoving platters and goblets to the floor as he snatched up the peace treaty in his fist.
As if I would ever make peace with a snake-worshipping abomination like you. The Fae cannot be trusted.
Zophir closed his eyes. As the other voices rose in unison, he could feel his tireless work to keep the peace unravel. He looked up in time to see his son open his mouth once more, but he would hear no more from him.
Enough!
In one swift motion, he stood and spun, sinking the back of his fist into Lucian's face, his rings cutting into flesh and sending the shocked prince sprawling to the ground.
Hold your tongue, lest I remove it and offer it as recompense for your disgraceful behavior.
Zophir turned back to the others, their momentary shock allowing a breath of silence for him to speak.
My son is short-sighted and does not speak for me. He is young and foolish in his pride. I pray you will forgive the interruption.
He carefully sank back into his seat. The king of Fuskar scoffed.
Prideful or not, he brings light to the issue. There will be no peace while your kind sit on the throne.
Zulfir's gaze flickered to the cloaked figure in the corner. Dire times. Desperate measures. This was where he served his people. Where he carved the path for Ebra.
Very well. My previous offer still stands. However, in light of...
He paused to shoot a glare of discontent at his son.
Recent events. I will offer you one more concession.
He moved his gaze across the dignitaries around him.
As you know, I am a widower, and have been for some time. Deliver unto me one of your daughters. The children born of this union will be my heirs to the throne. We will unite our bloodlines to strengthen all our kingdoms.
Father!
Lucian scrabbled to his hands and knees, but Zulfir ignored him.
When I die, only those with human lineage may rule on the throne of Ebra.
That deafening silence returned, suffocating all in the room. It was heavy and stagnant as the dignitaries let the words sink in. Slowly, the king of Fuskar unraveled the crumpled scroll in his hands. He glanced to the others, and their sluggish nods were approval enough.
And whose daughter will you marry?
He used his fat fingers to smooth out the creases.
Since you are the first to speak up, and most assuredly the loudest voice here, perhaps it will be your daughter and your bloodline that sits on this throne.
Zulfir hated the pompous taste of this rhetoric, but for the safety of his people, he was willing to sacrifice anything.
And so it cannot be said that I favor one nation above the rest. My heir shall marry a daughter of Uharia, and his heir a daughter of Aethia.
The king of Fuskar reached out a hand, plucking up a fine feathered quill before smashing it into the inkpot. His signature on the crumpled scroll was sloppy and forced, but the grin on his face, buried beneath that mustache, was wide.
We have an accord, at least on my end. I don't speak for the others.
The Emperor of Uharia was next to scratch his name on the scroll beneath the king's.
I shall expect the first shipment of grain within a fortnight.
He gave Lucian a cursory glance before excusing himself from the chambers, snapping his fingers at his guards as he left. The Tsar of Aethia offered only a curt bow before making his mark and following on the heels of the other dignitaries. Zulfir watched in silence as one by one the room emptied. The dark figure remained silent and motionless as ever. It wasn't until the serving girls came in with their rags and buckets to clean the mess of scattered food did the figure depart. With a rustle of fabric, they whisked themselves from the room without even a glance back. The statement was not lost on Zulfir. They would only leave when they wished. The heavy doors slammed shut, echoing off the high ceiling. Lucian stared at his father, his jaw working up the courage to speak as he clutched at his still bleeding face. It wasn't until he looked down at the scroll to see his father's signature did he find the words.
Please, tell me this was all a ruse, a clever bluff to fool the idiot rulers of those backwater nations.
Dragging a hand across his face, tugging at his chin, Zulfir let out a long sigh. He pushed himself to his feet and snapped up the peace treaty. His eyes ran the length of it before he tightly curled it back into a scroll, then tucked it inside his robes.
Unfortunately, it is not.
Following his father's motions, Lucian jumped to his feet.
Father! Please, we have the military might to topple these kingdoms in one fell swoop. Decimate their armies so they cannot fight back.
He closed the gap between them.
It would take no effort at all for us to remind these humans of their place. Instead, you give them my throne.
Fool of a boy.
Zelfir spun, a tower of rage staring down at the folly of youthful bravado.
You are so busy being guided by your pride, you failed to see the threat. Did you even notice the man standing in the corner?
Lucian turned to look in the direction his father indicated. A frown creased his brow as he turned to face the king.
Of course you didn't.
Zelfir let out a soft exhale through his nose.
The Brotherhood have reached our doorstep, son. And one of them entered uninvited into this meeting. Merely as a show to flex their might. An unspoken threat of what the future may hold.
Lucian scoffed. It was only one man, hardly an army. Reaching out, Zelfir grabbed his son by the shoulder and gave it a firm shake.
Have you not heard of what they have done to the Selkie traders in the Far East? Nearly wiped them from existence simply for being fey folk. Their god moves to eradicate all worship of any other deity.
He pulled his hand away to pinch at the bridge of his nose.
The Inquisition grows by the day. Because of your outburst, I had to make the swift decision to save our people, our nation, from the wrath of a holy crusade. These backwater nations, as you call them, will serve as our only buffer, our first line of defense.
Lucian frowned.
And what of Mother? You are not as widowed as you claim. What would she say about your reckless dismissal of her bloodline?
Your mother lost her right to an opinion when she abandoned us for the enshrined wilds.
He turned away, exhaustion beginning to take hold.
I believe in time you would have made a fine king, but now we will never know. I did not give away your throne, son. You lost it the moment you put your pride before your people.
Zelfir took in a deep sigh through his nose and turned towards the door.
I must make preparations for my new bride. Busy yourself with something meaningful.
Lucian watched the man leave the room, refusing to glance back at him as he did. He pulled his fingers away from his cheek, looking down at them stained with blood. He ground his jaw together as he worked up the courage to follow his father from the room. How could he sully their ancient, regal bloodline with the filth of human lineage? No army of man warranted this. Theara herself had bestowed this land upon his forebears, and no treaty would strip him of his birthright. A thunderous rage swelled up from his gut, filling his very being. If this was to be his last act as Prince of Ebra, he would see to it that no son of man ever ruled in the House of Folkgrave. An Interlude of Intrigue, A Tale of Three Kings, is book 3.5 by Leslie Herron, a short novella to set the stage for the upcoming book 4 of the series. If you would like to listen to the first three books, please be sure to check the links in the description. And stay tuned every few weeks to hear the latest chapters as they are being written and recorded. We hope you enjoyed the story. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.